God or anything, would probably look at us as a very weak and needy people. Amen? The problem is they don't realize that they're really the ones that are really very weak and needy. They think because of their machoism or their attitude and their boldness and brashness and worldliness and all that, they've got it all together and they've got everything under control in their lives. But really, without him, there was one line in there that said the world, everything would fall, we would fall apart. And the truth is, you see the world without God, what is it doing? It's falling apart. It's falling apart before our very eyes because they fail to acknowledge him. They fail to include him. They fail to incorporate him in everything that we do, in our government, in our schools, in our families. We see families falling apart, families failing, children failing. You see it more and more in the world today. Yes, sir, we are a very needy people, but it's him that we need, and it's him who comes to be with us and comes to heal us and strengthen us and carry us through. We have the ultimate healing, knowing our future. Regardless of what had transpired in these few years that he gives us, we know our eternity. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, we've been praying this week, and we're going to do something a little bit different. You know, I've been thinking, we've been standing up here, it's over 20 years now that we've been the senior pastors, Pastor Diane and myself. And each week, most weeks, we bring you what we believe the Lord has placed upon our heart, something that we're to share with all of you. But you know what? God is not a respecter of persons. And we know that God is working not just in our lives. He doesn't just speak to us. He speaks to each and every one of us. Each and every one of us. So we thought we'd do something a little different this morning. We thought maybe we'd give you an opportunity to share with us what God is doing in your lives, not only through testimony of what maybe he's doing or has done in the recent past, but perhaps what he is even speaking to you in the spirit, what he is revealing to you, not only for your personal life, but maybe corporately as a church or as a body. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to give you an opportunity to minister to us. So I'm going to ask Pastor Diane to join me. Come on up. And I want to come around and I want to give you, now I want to ask you, we want to give as many people as possible an opportunity to share. So just take a couple minutes. We don't need to know every single detail about what the testimony is or what God is doing. You don't need to know, you know, the color of the plane you were flying on and the number of the seat that you were sitting in. You know, we don't need to know. We need to know what the situation, if it's a testimony, what was the situation and how God brought you through it. If it's God has downloaded something into your spirit that you feel is not only for you, but perhaps would bless the body, we ask that you share it as concisely as possible within several minutes, maybe 5 minutes at the most. You know, just so we give everybody that would want an opportunity to share something to share. Do you want it? You didn't put the mic on? Oh, I don't see it. You hit it?
It's over here.
Yeah, where's the mic?
Over here.
I don't see it.
Microphone.
Oh, it's underneath. No, you can't put it underneath there. They won't hear you. Hold on a second. Time out.
Let me just...
Shane, am I going blind? You want to fix my shirt? Am I okay? Why's that open?
Glory. You know what? When we were worshiping, and I was standing there, I felt like God said to me, you are covered by my blood. And we all know that. We've heard that. We believe that. But it kind of struck me in a a deeper way. You are covered by my son's blood and covered with his blood. And then I thought, there's life in the blood of Jesus. There's abundant life in the blood of Jesus. And if I'm covered with his blood actually goes into my pores inside, you know, internal. And it is in my body. His blood, the life of Jesus Christ, is in me. That abundant life is in me. And I don't know, I got so much out of that. I wanted to jump around and scream because I got like a picture, you know, of Jesus as those drops were coming out of his body and he was bleeding all over. You know, we've always heard it's for every one of us, his blood. He shed his blood for us on the cross. But in that moment, it just came alive that there's life in the blood and the life abundant. Jesus' life that he gave for us is in me. It gives me like such a refreshing, almost I'll say like a new beginning. Because we're walking in the abundance of life that the Son of God gave over, rendered to the church.
Amen.
And that's inside of us. So I'm just sharing that, and I only see in part. And with all of us together, if you meditate on that, you're going to get more, you know, a different facet of it. And maybe someday I'll preach on it, and you guys will get up and share what you see in that. But keep that alive in you, okay? In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Who would like to be the first to share?
Debbie. Hallelujah.
I'd like to share about my daughter, Jackie, my youngest daughter. Through this whole time that Carl was so sick, this, you know, that last year, she was trying to have a baby, and she was going through all kind of fertility treatments, and she had been for a couple of years before that, but this was like another try, and it was very difficult because there's a lot of disappointment she went through. I should say first that Jackie, when I had Jackie, I was coming to this church. She was dedicated here. I brought her to Bible studies when she was 3 years old or younger. So she knew the Lord. She went to school here up to fourth grade. But there was a time she, in her teenage years, she kind of wandered and gave me a hard time. It was difficult years then. But, you know, through it all, you know, I prayed, and she had a word. I'll never forget, she was here. Abner gave her a word, a prophetic word that God wanted to use her. But you're letting others lead you kind of astray, but God wants to use you in their lives. And she knew it was the Lord. She cried. She knew it was the Lord, but it didn't cause her to really, you know, rededicate her life to the Lord at that time. But through all this, we went through. And in the meantime, her father being so sick, and it was really hard. I think Jackie took it the hardest. So like 2 days after his funeral, she was having the embryo implanted. So, you know, she was like, Mom, should I do it now? Just do it, Jackie. So she did. And this time it worked, and she's 20 weeks pregnant. So I thank God for that. Amen. Haiti knows. We pray at the Bible study all the time. But also, she gave a testimony. Last week, she's been going to another church in the area, and they had a woman's breakfast, and some people gave testimonies, and she asked if she could, just that spur of the moment, and she did. But what she said was, you know, of course, about the whole, you know, the trial, the going through all the disappointments, and then seeing God's hand move, even like the insurance took care of it this time. That was a big thing, because the other times it was all out of pocket. It's very expensive. Anyway, so it was covered by insurance. The whole thing was, you could see God's hand. But what she said was, I know God used this, all that I went through, to draw me to himself. She said, you know, the scripture, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. And when she said that, I was like, I was so blessed because, you know, I knew God was using it, but then now she saw it. And God is good. So we could just keep praying that it all, the pregnancy goes well, and Amen.
She's having a boy. And there's no boys, really, in my family.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I recently...
We do pray, Father, for Jackie. We do pray, oh God, for the little baby in her womb. Father, I know your eyes are upon that little infant. We ask, Lord God, that you would keep mommy strong, and that during her labor, God, she'll feel your presence, that all will go well and safe, and that baby will be born so beautiful, Lord God, inside and out, perfect, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Father, for this wonderful testimony, an answer to prayer. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Abundant life is coming into the Passaro family. There was life lost, and now life gained. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord. But I've been praying recently, and the Lord has been showing that this is the way he works, I think, at different times, in different ages, in different periods of time. And the way now, because I believe the Lord, the people are, we are so distracted by so much going on in our lives. The Lord led me a while ago to begin praying. And when you have individual needs, Lord, create a circumstance in an individual's life that will cause them to have to turn to you. And I think, I see that's what he's doing more in this age. Rather than just like in the 70s when we came, we came out of the Catholic Church so easily, you know, no problem. The truth was revealed to us. We said, yeah, this makes sense. Okay, good. We had the Lord in our lives, and we were saved. Very simple. There was no circumstance that had to be created. But today we are so distracted. We are so without God that sometimes we need a circumstance in our life. And thinking of, say, Jackie, you know, what was it, 4 or 5 times? I think she must have tried 3 or 4 at least. And each time, disappointment after disappointment. You know, perhaps if she had done it the first time and got, she maybe wouldn't have come back to the Lord, you know, and really rededicated her life. But the Lord created circumstances in her life and does in each and every one of our lives that make, where you get to the point where, okay, Lord, it's only you. It's only you. Amen? Sometimes that's the way he has to work. Amen. Somebody else. Hallelujah.
Good. Today when I was praying, I really felt like when we're afraid of things, and that's when he really has us go through things. We're not afraid anymore. He'll bring our fears to our face so we could face things. So that's what I was really praying today, because sometimes the grandchildren... They're there for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I say, God, help me. Because they need all this attention every single minute. And, you know, I don't always have that strength. So little Anna Rose came down for breakfast today. And she wanted to help me do everything. And so, you know, I'm so blessed to have these little children in my life. And I'm really grateful and thankful. And I pray that they're going to be those holy, mighty men and women of God. And God will use their lives for his honor, glory, and purpose and plans for them. In Jesus' mighty name. And also that, look at this lovely young man that God sent to me. This man, John, he's, right, he was a Quaker for 40 years, and now look where he is today in this church.
Good to have you here with us, John. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, let me share something with you. Sometimes when you're going through things, we obviously, naturally, we want to turn to God and ask him, Lord, get me through this. Get me out of this situation, right? You know, just let's end it, whatever. And sometimes, you know, and if you pray long enough and hard enough, God is faithful. And he will deliver you out of this situation. However, you may not have learned what it is you needed to learn through that situation. So it comes upon you again. So here's what I'm saying. Don't be so quick to say, Lord, resolve this. Get me out of this. But rather, Lord, what is it you're doing through this? What is it you want to show me? What is it you want me to learn through this so I don't have to go through this again? You know, God is faithful. He will deliver you. But it's like, oh, gee, well, you know, you didn't learn what it is I wanted you to learn through this. So you're going to end up right back there again.
Prayed that prayer, and you know, we'll be led to pray that prayer. But God, help me to please you in this. I want to be your shining star, you know, in this. I don't even understand why you're allowing this, but I'm going to bring you glory and honor and love. And you know, and he's going to stretch us and mature us more through everything that we go through. You know, I think it's so hard for us to see our loved ones going through something. It's harder most of the time than when we're going through something. But to get that heart of worship, you know, to say, Lord, you're doing something, Lord. But don't let it get too bad. Don't. Could we, you know, just give it to him, because he's not only our Father, he's their Father. Amen?
Amen. Someone else.
Rich. I'll get to you all.
This is a long testimony, but I'm going to make it short. The Lord gave me a wake-up call in April 27, 2006 at 8:30 in the morning. I was going to my office, like I always do, open up my company as far as that. I own a training company. And all of a sudden, I'm going downstairs. Eight FBI agents, I mean, IRS special agents, stormed the office. They have warrants. They basically take every single file, take all my computers, open up the safe, everything had to be done. They run back home again to Arlene, warrants, open up the safes at home. We have warrants for your arrest as far as that's concerned. So to make a long story short, I was involved with ministry at the time, but I was going through the motions. I was like the prison ministry, the nursing home ministry, and so forth itself. But the Lord gave me a wake-up call. They came down, and I thought, this is going to be the end. I went through hell from 2006 to 2011. They leave you alone for 18 months, then they call you back in again. Meanwhile, attorney fees get building up and up and up and up and up. As far. My attorney said, you're looking at 7 years in Allentown, Pennsylvania for 14 felony charges. I said, oh, well, wow, how am I going to get out of this, right? I was praying to the Lord, how am I going to get out of this? To make a long story short, my prayers were answered, but it was a wake-up call. I ended up getting 3 years probation, 6 months locked down at the house with an ankle bracelet, which I couldn't, you know, I could only go to church back and forth. I had my hours where I could be in church, my hours where I could be at work. I had to be back as far as that. I ended up with 3 years probation, and he was looking for $3.75 million in back pay as far as that. Thank God I ended up getting no time, $103,000 fine, and the Lord got me through it. He says, but this is a wake-up call if you're rich. I got you through this. Don't repeat the experience again, because maybe next time you're not going to go through it.
Amen.
Yeah. So, amen. So I just wanted to praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Otherwise, I wouldn't be in church yet. I'd be sitting somewhere in Allentown, Pennsylvania, doing the prison ministry myself up there.
Hallelujah.
Praise God for his faithfulness. I know there was Sue and there was someone. I'll get back to you, Barbara, in a second. Wake up call.
Excuse me. There was, well, first, I just want to say one little thing, because I do want to talk about something, but one thing I just want to say, God has given me numerous dreams over the last few years of this place full. I mean, and full. First, it was the basement, and you know, we were going downstairs, and tons of people just everywhere, and joy, and then and two other dreams were both there. There was so many people in here that are the hallway going up to the office, and the hallway going down to the basement. They were much wider, and they were escalators, and the escalators were full, two ways going up and coming down, and then just filled. So I just keep remembering those dreams, and I believe God is going to do that, however he wants, however many, whatever he wants, but he's going to do it. But I just wanted to share, when Jim Jorgensen was here one time, and he didn't know me, I didn't know him. Anyway, he came and had a word over me, and he said to me, "Your children are mine. Your grandchildren are mine. Even the strays." My mind went to three strays. And he has brought, actually four, he's brought two of them into God so tight and so close and so growing, and especially the one, and it took a really hard, ugly thing to create her to turn around and come back. But she has fully in. And he said, even the strays, but you have to hold on for those strays. And I still have two left. and the biggest one is my son. But he just keeps pulling me back. Hang on, hold on, don't let go. I have to be there for him and with him. And it gets tiring and it hurts. But he's gone through so much and he's still going through so much. But God is faithful. I don't know what God's going to do, but I know he's going to do it. So don't let go. Don't let go.
He'll create a circumstance.
I just want to pray. Father, we ask you, Father, for this son, God. You put him in the midst of so many relatives that know you and love you. Father, he's heard so much. But Father, that one thing that will awaken him, you know what it is. That one thing, Lord God, that deep thing within that soul that needs to be unlocked and awakened by you and only you. We ask, Father, would you take that key, God, and would you begin turning that lock, God, and free him, Father, from whatever holds him bound. We come against the enemy because we have the authority, we have the right, and we have the anointing to come against whatever is holding him back, body, soul, and spirit. In Jesus' name, God, another prayer. And Father, sometimes it takes many, but we're adding another prayer, Lord God, upon prayers, layers and layers and layers and layers. And Father, would you quicken this work in Jesus' mighty name? We believe in you, Father. You love him more than his own mom loves him. So Father, pour out that love. Touch him. Awaken him. Call him by name. Give him such a personal touch, Lord. And I know he is emotional. He is very delicate, Father, in some ways, and very deep in other ways, but you know him best, and you know the greatest way to touch him. So we're asking you, Father, to speed up the work, Lord God, and call him to yourself. Make yourself and your love known to him. Make the cross known to him personally, Lord God. Call him in Jesus' mighty name. We all agree. Amen.
Hallelujah. Barbara.
I just want to get this scripture. In 2 Timothy, 1 chapter 7. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And then in verse 9 it says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. I've been saved like, I don't know, in the beginning, just feel like forever, you know, because it is forever. It is forever. And this racing trial that I'm going through, he's telling me not to fear, but by his power and the love. And he's showing me the outpouring of love, and he's making me, even when fear will try to come upon me, which it does try to come upon all of us, you know, not to give in to it, but to resist it. And even though I may even feel something, not to go by that feeling, to just, and he's lining up something, because I live alone now, and I'm going to have to go through some surgery, because that's the way he's going to manifest. It looks like that's the way, I'm going to trust him till the time I have to go, but that's the way he'll manifest his healing power in me, just like with Rich, and just like with many people who are going through. And he's just like lining things up through the love of others and through the faithfulness of others, you know, that he brings into our life. So when you said that, he's never failed us, and it isn't yet. It is. He's never failed us. I just have to, you know, like encourage the body. Everything that we go through, he's never failed us. And that he has the victory because he has never failed us. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You're going to have a new walk in the Lord. Amen.
Ruth.
So, a few things were on my mind. So it's like three parts, okay? I never speak.
Okay, just try to consolidate them.
Okay. So, I just feel like, I feel like we're all called now more than ever, and we have to ask God to forgive us because we're all in different backgrounds and different ages and different experiences, and sometimes we're Christian and we grow in very different ways. But I think that we need to mentally, physically, and spiritually prepare. We see the world getting dark, the economy is changing, and I'm also feeling like we need to witness more whenever possible. Like, even if it's, sometimes it's so hard and awkward, but even if you just speak something about a song, or you tell them about a church, or something you've experienced in any which way. So I feel like a stronger pull that direction. And lastly, the word revival came to me this morning, like never before. So it came to me, and I always heard you guys say it when I was a kid, revival, revival. But it came to me in a very different, strong way, that something has to change, and it will change. So we have to just keep it in prayer.
Amen. You know, I think this year, yes, I think something's going to happen this year. This is a key year, 2024, in a lot of ways. And I'm just waiting. I mean, we're already almost into March. And I'm just waiting to see what God is going to do, because I think something's in the works for this year in a lot of ways, personally and whatever. Someone else. Oh, Maddie.
God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. Though trials may press us and burdens distress us, he never will leave us alone. God is still on the throne, and he will remember his own. His promise is true, he will not forget you. God is still on the throne.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I think 24 is a challenging year. I feel it challenging. For me, maybe. I don't know for you. But I praise and thank God for his mercy, grace, and love. And when I came in and I heard that song, I Need Thee, I love Matt Myers singing, I Need Thee. Oh, I Need Thee, and I do need him. Because sometimes I'm afraid of myself because of the kind of boldness God gives me. And I don't want the flesh to take any credit for whatever I have to say. God's word is very important. We have to use it wisely. I had a dream of a Muslim woman. I'm not going to mention name. I had a dream of a Muslim woman close by. And I was wondering what to do with this dream. So I said, well, let's see. So on Sunday, was it this Sunday? Was it last Sunday? Sunday before? We had to go after church. We go to a restaurant, some on small scale, like, you know, we have a good time. So I was heading home. And then my car, or maybe me, turning the car, and I went to this person's house, Muslim home, and I said, I had a dream about you. Can I pray? So she said, yes. Now, this is a Muslim home. They can send me out or throw me out. But thank God, when we are working for the King, we sit and hear and hear and hear. And you had a message, something about walk. That meant action. So I said, oh, wow, here comes. So they received me. I looked at this person's face. And I said, can I pray for you? And she said, yes. And I prayed for her. And I do not know what I said, but I was like on fire. And I prayed with no restrictions. Winning souls is my thing, because God has given me that, to win souls. A lot of people are walking dead. So I prayed for her, and whatever I said it, and I was exiting, and her husband said for me to wait and sit down. I said, no, thank you. And I was heading home. But then I didn't head home. I came back to the church. And I saw, I don't know how many of y'all were here. Mike, you were here, right? The week that I said, circles, people, circles. Make a circle. And so they made a circle in the cafeteria, and I spoke about this person, and we all prayed, because we all have to be in partnership with one another. If it's winning souls, if whatever the gifting is, get to know what your gifting is and work in it, because it's getting too late for playing church. And I praise and thank God we have to move in the Spirit with humility and wisdom. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. You know, that is such a key word right there. You know, we all have to win. So don't depend on us to win. Our calling is to lead you, to lead this church. That's what the Lord has called us, for whatever reason. I don't know, but he did. For whatever he planned our lives to be, this. You're the one. You know, it's the sheep that produce the wool, not the shepherd. Think about that for a second. The shepherd is the one that leads them to water, that feeds them, that cares for them, looks out for them. But it's the sheep that really produce the wool. It's an important fact. Amen. Someone else. Come on, don't be shy. You're going to leave here and you're going to say, oh, I should have. Eric, you got something? Come on. Hold on.
Where do I start? As you know, my daughter's been going through a lot of stuff right now lately, and the Lord has been putting this word on my, you know, my heart. I've been reading the Bible more often now. I tried to read a little bit more. Like this morning, I was reading, and the first thing that came to my mind was Psalms 118:8, and that happened a couple of weeks ago. He put the same word for me to read it. This morning, I went ahead and read it again. It talks about to put the trust in the Lord and to not put your trust in somebody else. And I'm like, okay, he's really talking to me. And, you know, because sometimes I feel so useless, the things that my daughter's going through. And I said, man, I need to start praying a little more. I need to start reading the word more, and, you know, and put just the trust in him, you know. And that's
hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, we sometimes want to fix everything ourselves. I think, you know, it's especially hard, I think, for men. I really, because it's in our nature to want to fix things, provide, take care of it, cover, whatever. I think there was a time that you even had said to me, we were going through something, she was going through something, and I was trying so hard. And I think you actually came to me one time and you said, all I need for you to do is just don't try to fix it. Because that's me, I'm a fix-it man. Don't try to fix it. Just pray. Just pray and be there that will help me walk through it. It's hard for us sometimes as men. Someone else.
I wasn't going to share, but I don't want to be one of those people that walks out of here and regrets it. All right. One, two,
three, four, five, six, and potentially seven trials I'm experiencing. Got that? One, two, three, four, five, six, potentially seven. The worst trial that I have gone through was losing my son last year, which was the worst, I believe, trial that any mother can go through, is to actually physically lose a child, no matter how old they are. And God's grace has been incredible. Like, I'm happy. Like, in myself, I would be miserable, right, in my own flesh. But God has taken over in my life to help me to rise above my feelings and my emotions, to receive his grace that's there for the taking. You know, God's grace is always there. It has to do with, are you going to take it? Are you going to receive it? Are you going to walk in it? Like, because, you know, we can just walk in our flesh and hide under the covers and be depressed and be miserable. But through his power, you know, he is strengthening me to go on, not only with the loss of my son, but with these other things that are going on. And my faith is strong. I won't throw in the towel. You know, I thought about it sometimes, but I'm like, if I throw the towel in, where am I going to go? You know, that verse that says about tasting the goodness of the Lord. What am I going to do? Go back in the hand of the enemy and really let him destroy me? You know, it's not these things that I'm going through. It's not caused by me. It's actually caused by other people, you know, and everything like that. But, and you know, you really can't cut out of your life or whatever. But Romans, I think it's 8:28, says that all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and called according to his purpose. That even though I can't see the good out of it in the natural, because we have two spirits operating. We have the natural spirit operating, and we have the spiritual spirit operating. In the spirit realm, I have to understand that whatever it is that I'm experiencing or enduring is working together for my good. I'm like a pivotal witness that I can still worship God, praise God, serve God, exalt his holy name in the middle of six, potentially seven trials. And be happy and laugh. Like, you're not doing that in your own power. There is no way, and I don't know what the purpose is, whatever, but I do know one thing. I don't have control over things. You know, he has control over everything. And Bible verses, you know, that says he makes all things beautiful in his time, whatever that beautiful is. But I know that he's changing me in the inside. You know, he's taking me out of the flesh realm and bringing me into the spiritual realm, whether it has to do with, you know, loving somebody or forgiving somebody or interceding in prayer. This is God. You know, he wants us to be in his image. And sometimes we're going to go through the fire. You know, so I just wanted to share that and hopefully it blessed somebody.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways, for there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both like you. Hallelujah. You formed me in my inward parts, and you covered me in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully, wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against me wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. I do not hate them, O Lord, who hate you. And I do not loathe those who rise up against you. I hate them with perfect hatred, and I count them as my enemies. But search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen.
Lord. Am I on, Mike? There you go. Hallelujah. I want to, because Roseanne mentioned this particular portion of Scripture, I want to just share a minute on it in Romans 8:28, because it can lead to confusion. It can lead to frustration if you don't fully understand it, because we all, I'm certain, have been witness to praying for someone for a particular situation or even for a life-threatening condition, and they died, or the situation didn't get better. So when you hear Romans 8:28 quoted, that can lead you to confusion if you read it wrong. The Scripture says, for all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. We unfortunately very often quote it as all things work together for good for those who love God. Things don't always work together for our good. We die. The situation doesn't get better. But God still uses that situation for good. It wasn't for your good necessarily. Okay? When Pastor Diane just went into the hospital, severe pain, suffering, whatever. It wasn't for her good. But he used it for good, because at least two or three either came to know the Lord or gained a higher awareness of his presence through her witnessing and whatever. Do you understand? So it's not God works all together, all things together for good for those. It's to those. So everything that happens to us, good or bad, life or death, is God will use it for good. Okay? I saw it in Pastor Dye's father when he passed away, a man who didn't want anything to do with God all his life, but in a few short weeks when he was diagnosed with cancer and died within 10 weeks from diagnosis to death, within that time, he came to know the Lord. It didn't work out for his good physically. It worked out for his good spiritually. Okay, but it did not work out for his good physically, because regardless of how hard we prayed and how hard we fasted and everybody did, he died anyway. But through his death, his sons came to know the Lord. His brother-in-law came to know the Lord. His grandchildren came to know the Lord. So God used it for good. Not his good, but for good. You follow me? Because if you don't fully, I say this because if you don't understand it, it can lead to frustration. I don't understand. The Scripture says he works for everything for my good. No, he doesn't. We're indispensable. You know what? And this may sound harsh. God really isn't so concerned about this. You can see it in his son. He sacrificed his son for you, okay, in the physical. He's not so concerned about this. He's concerned about souls. If taking your life is going to bring three into the kingdom, that's a good deal as far as he's concerned. You understand? Because we know where we're going anyway. He knows where we're going anyway. Those of us who love him are called according to his purpose. You understand? So it's important that you, what does he say? Study the word to show yourself approved. Don't just read over. Look at every little to, every little if, every little but, every little therefore. It's all for a purpose, and it's very, very important. Okay, oh, it's almost 1 o'clock already. Is there any last quick one? If not, we'll just head to the cafe and have some fellowship and fun and food. Amen? Oh, Mike, in the back. We sometimes lose you back there.
So some of you know, but some of you don't, I've been suffering for headaches, terrible migraines for probably the past 3 years. I mean, they would get very intense. They would affect my vision and my speech sometimes. They would get so bad. And I waited and I waited to get it checked out. You know, men, they usually wait until they're on a gurney or something before they actually go to the doctor for anything. But so we went, my wife and I went, and I had an MRI done. You know, I was hoping, in a sense, that they would find something so I would know that it could be repaired, you know. But they didn't find anything. I am thankful for it. It was clear. You know, I ask for God for forgiveness for murmuring through it sometimes, and it's hard when something is so persistent, you know. And don't get me wrong, I wouldn't just take it, you know, laying down. I would go into warfare. I go into warfare because it's almost daily. It's been almost daily. But it gets exhausting, you know. Being in that level of warfare all the time, it's very difficult. So I'd carry a bottle of aspirin around with me, and it helps sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't. But I just want to thank God for the headaches because I know he's has a greater purpose in it. I really do. He's doing a work through it. I know that he is. I truly know that he is. And I just thank him for it. And I love him regardless of the circumstances. And I give him all the glory, all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you. We believe God. God's going to deliver you from that. I just had one question, Mike. When they did the MRI, they found nothing up there? Oh, okay. The way you said it, they found nothing. I got concerned for a second there. Hallelujah. Where? Annette. Hallelujah.
Thank you. This concerns witnessing, and Pastor Diane said something, and it was confirmed of what had happened. When you witness, it's simple and natural. And she said something, and I can't repeat it because I just don't remember, but it confirmed that it's natural and it's simple when you witness to someone. And see, the school that I went to is like we used to have trainings on how to witness, and you have books and papers and scripture, and when you went, you know, like I get nervous, oh, what is that scripture? What, you know, I got, you know, and when this person came up, you had the pamphlet to give to them to, what was it? Yeah, a track. You give them a track, and you know, you do all of that, but it's you know, when you think about it naturally, when Jesus' disciples were out. They didn't go to any school to learn how to witness. They just went and they spoke and shared what happened in their lives. It was just natural. You know, they didn't have to look up, pull for their scriptures and say, oh, Lord, what is that scripture? You know, and it's just a natural thing. And maybe it doesn't apply to you, but it applied to me that I need, because I have to have things sometimes systematically there. I have to see what stages you have to go through and all this, but it's just a natural thing.
Hallelujah. Be natural. Let God do it. Amen. You know, and that mentioned school, and I was blown away the other night. We were with a couple. And one of them, she works in a school with young children. And she said that a number of years ago, they had to take a class on how to not say no to a child. You're not allowed to say no to a child. I said, what are you talking about? When you're doing something wrong, how do you not tell them no? Don't do that. She said, no, you can't say that. You have to say, should you really be doing that? You have to twist everything around. Whatever it is, you can't say no, don't, nothing negative. You got to be kidding me. But this is where the world has gone today. So they need, I say that because the world needs a witness. The world really needs a witness, you know, and when I said, like before, you know, you pray, God, create a circumstance. God is creating circumstances in this country that everything is going to come to a head. It has to come to a head where there's going to be some major either changes or upheaval, one or the other. It can't continue like this. He's creating circumstances for change. I don't know which way it's going to go. This is a confusing year. I don't know about you. But, I mean, you look at the government, you look at the people that are running and the things that they're saying. I wish they would pass a law that anybody running for any office can only speak about themselves and not the other candidate. All the commercials are just bashing the other one. And it's funny, you see them back to back. You see the one promoting himself, and you see the next one bashing him, or back and forth. There should be a law that you cannot speak about your opponent, what they've done or not done, but only speak about yourself, what you've done and what you plan to do. I wish they would pass that law. It would make it so much easier that I don't have to pause all the commercials all the time. Praise God. Thank you. You know, I appreciate each and every one of you and what you've shared this morning, because this is a message. This is a message. It doesn't always have to come from here. Amen? Amen. So let's just thank the Lord for what he's done, and the cafe will be open, and we'll just have a little time of fellowship, okay? Father, we thank you for how you speak to each and every one of us, Lord. You speak to us, you speak through us, you speak for us, Father, and you're always there. Your grace is immeasurable, unlimited. Your provision for us is never ending. There are no yets. In what you do for us, Lord. So we give you all the glory, we give you all the honor, and we give you all the praise, and I pray your blessing upon each and every one of these, your sheep in your pasture, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's have a time of fellowship.